Chicago, guess what? That's right. It is Monday, October the 10th, 2016, Columbus Day. Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And, man, we have a great, great show for you today. Today's topic, this should be good. This is good. Man, I'm excited about this one. It is real simple. Everybody can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? Everybody can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? That is going to be amazing conversation. I can't wait to get into that one. This is just going to be good. So look here, y'all. Man, it is Columbus Day. We're going to talk about that, too. We're going to talk about the debate. Yeah, whole lot of stuff, man. It's about to be a lot. But we're going to talk about the debate. We're going to talk about the CPS school strike that's looming right now. A bunch of other stuff. But look, if you just tuned in, If your first time tuning in, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of the show. If you are listening, you've already called in, and you're listening on your phone, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, real simple. This is all you have to do to call in to be a part of the show. Dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show. Real simple, tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to read your tweet live on the air. If you want to email the show, real simple to do. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Man, the live stream. If you want to watch the live stream of the show, some of y'all have already come in the room. I see y'all. Bless y'all. Come on in. Press on in, as they say. Press on in. Come be a part of the show via the live stream. You can find us on Facebook Live. Simply go to the same Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. When you do come into the room, do me a quick favor. First, say hello to everybody else in the room. When you come in, you got to speak to people. Learn how to speak. Hit the comment button. Speak to the people. Let me know who you are. Let me know where you're watching from. Please do that. And then also, if you're watching on via your computer, simply hit the share button. Share it with your friends and family. Do that for me. If you're watching on your Android device, I believe if you swipe up, hit the share button, you can share that with your followers. If you're on an iPhone, I think if you swipe left, you can share that with your followers as well. It would be greatly, greatly appreciated. I want to make a real quick announcement about something that's happening. Hey, good afternoon, Ms. Goss. Good afternoon. One of the things that I want to make an announcement for, in case you guys noticed. Okay, you guys know I did a wedding I can't get the month right. Y'all help me out with the month. Y'all know I'm getting old. Was it in August or July? No, it was in July. I did a wedding in July, my first wedding, right? My godbrother and his beautiful now wife, Renee and Aaron, got married back then. So, you know, Aaron is a I was about to call him a stockbroker. Y'all pray for me. Aaron is a real estate. He's a real estate broker. Well, tonight, in case you didn't know, tonight he will be on HGTV. Y'all heard me. HGTV. Y'all got to check him out, man. He's going to be on HGTV tonight doing a segment. Let me pull it up real quick so I can make sure I get the right information, because, you know, I'll tear it up in a minute. But it will be on tonight. Come on. Let me get it real quick. All right, here we go. It will be on tonight. Let's see, at 9 p.m. Central Time. It's called Hunting Village, HGTV Tonight. It's a show going to be called The Hunting Village at 9 p.m. Central Time. So check your local listings for HGTV. You'll see a segment there, and it's going to be really, 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 really good. So y'all check it out. I'm excited. I'm going to make sure I'm in front of the football, you know, I have the DVR set, so I'm ready, because, you know, it's Monday Night Football, but, yeah, you know. That's my little brother, so I got to check him out. So make sure you don't miss that, right? Tonight, It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. So check him out on HGTV, man, doing some stuff, man. And I'm going to tell y'all, when I'm going to have him on the show. We just trying to get our logistics together, and I wasn't even thinking because he's probably off today, and he probably could have been here in the studio. He's a realtor, man, and, man, if you heard his story, if you heard his story and what he's went through in his life and the difficulties and hardships that he's went through to where he is now, that's something that could be talked about on air. So I just need to get some time, man. And again, it slipped my mind. I wasn't even thinking about this being a holiday technically, you know, in some aspects that he could have been here, probably could have been here today. This probably would have been a good day for it. But I'm just excited for him and his family, man, about what's about to happen with them. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So big shout out to them, Aaron and Renee. Love y'all. I call them my first couple. That's what they are. They're my first couple. So I check in. And I check in on them quite often. They probably sick of me, but I check in on them. I have to send them some messages just to say, hey, what's going on? Anyway, so, yeah, y'all, again, check that out tonight, HGTV, 9 p.m. Central. That's my godbrother, my little brother, Aaron Odell, will be on tonight as part of the House Hunters or not House Hunters, Hunting Village. That's the show that'll be on tonight, 9 o'clock. So set your DVRs. I know y'all be watching other stuff on Mondays, but just do that. Do that for a brother. Help the preacher out. All right, y'all check it out. Set your DVR, Hunting Village, HGTV. All right, so let me move on real quick. So today, I forgot one thing. Subscribe to our podcast, iTunes. Thank you. You know, I forget some stuff. Subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account. If you have iTunes, those of you who have Apple products, go to your iTunes account, go to the podcast section, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Once you find it in the podcast section, hit subscribe. It doesn't cost you a dime. It's free. It's free, right? It's free. So you do that and you subscribe. That way you'll get every show that we have going forward. Those shows will automatically download into your library. Doesn't cost you a dime. It's just a way for you to keep track of what's going here at TTLO Radio. All right. So look here. So it's Columbus Day, right? That's what it is, right? It's Columbus Day. Let me make sure I got all this stuff open over here so I can see, because some of y'all are probably talking over here. Let me get in here. All right. Yeah, there we go. See, now I can see. Let me see who all in the room. What up, cuz? Oh, Roy Earl. What's up, man? What's going on? I told y'all to speak when you come in the room. See, some people speak, some people don't. I don't know why y'all can't speak. See, that's what's wrong with church folk. Church folk don't know how to act when they come in the room. Say something to the people. Anyway, so it's Columbus Day. It's Columbus Day, right? So over the last few years, you know, I'm dating myself now, but when I was in high school, you know, Columbus Day was a big deal because it was a day off. And, you know, we were always taught that, hey, what's up, Renee? How you doing? was one of the things that was always taught was, you know, Christopher Columbus discovered America. 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered America. Right. Okay. And then somewhere around the late 90s, we started getting the real story. And it's not that the real story wasn't out there, but this is what happened. Let me tell you this. And this is one of the beautiful things about the internet. Because, see, this information was always there, but the problem is the only way you were going to get it were you were going to have to go to somebody's library and do some research. One of the beautiful things about the internet is it saves you a lot of time and effort. And so what happened is people started doing the research because we knew that, history books told us that the indigenous people were already here years and hundreds of years before Christopher Columbus ever showed up. So one of the things that's going on right now is a lot of states are now pushing for, instead of having Columbus Day be on the second Monday of October, they're trying to get that date changed, watch this now, to Indigenous People's Day. Indigenous people, or original people, or the Indians. That's who was here when Christopher Columbus showed up. And so there's 14 different communities right now in the United States that have passed measures that have designated the second Monday of the year to be, instead of it being Columbus Day, Indigenous People Day. Because let's be honest, if we really look at what happened and what really went on, it's just a shift in the consciousness of the people. A professor from Cheyenne Nation University, he's an assistant American Indian, he's an, a professor of American Indian Studies in Arizona, just put it out there like this. He says it's a shift in consciousness. Because we recognize now that Christopher Columbus technically didn't discover anything, because how you going to discover something that was already there? How you going to take credit for something that was already there? It's crazy, because historians largely, and I'm just giving you a little something, but y'all can, you don't have to believe the preacher, as the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. So do your own research. But it's real simple. He didn't discover America. And most historians now are largely coming out saying that he did not discover the Americas because people were already there. Watch this. Nor was he the first European to reach the New World. Because if you read the history of his travels, he sailed around the Caribbean. Watch this. This is what Christopher Columbus did. And I brought this up for a reason, because of what just happened in Haiti. Christopher Columbus sailed around the Caribbean, enslaving the people of Haiti, watch this, bringing violence and disease to the region and decimating the population. He then opened up the Americas to European settlement at the expense of the indigenous population, paving the way for the European slave trade. He paved the way for the European slave trade, Mr. Christopher Columbus. Yeah, because he showed up on an island, and if we read the real story, he got lost. Can we tell the truth? Can we tell the truth? And like they say, tell the truth and shame the devil. Christopher Columbus didn't discover Jack. He got lost. He got lost on the water because he wasn't the best sailor. He wasn't the best navigator. He got lost, and they just happened to wash up on an island somewhere. They found an island because they were dying on their boat because they had all types of diseases on the boat. They then took those, came off the boat, raped the Indian women, took over all of that, then spread those diseases, which in turn decimated that population. This ain't me speculating. This is in history books. This is why we have to read so we know what's really going on. Okay? So this is one of the biggest misconceptions about Christopher Columbus was that he was righteous. That's one of the biggest misconceptions, is that he was righteous. Christopher Columbus was not righteous. The truth is, he was wicked, and he was responsible for the rape and murder of Indians or indigenous people in this country. Haiti is like it is now because of what Christopher Columbus did hundreds of years ago. Because he came in and robbed those people of what they had. He came over here and robbed them of their natural resources. So I know this is, and it's unfortunate that, and I would be curious to know, I'd have to ask, what's up, Monique? I see you when you come in the room. Y'all got to speak now. But I'd be curious to know what's being taught in the history books now. Can some of my educators help me? Are we still saying, is it still recorded? And are we still teaching our children, and I'm going to segue to somewhere, but are we still teaching our children that Christopher Columbus discovered America? Is that still what we're saying? Or have we adjusted to the truth? It's unfortunate when you have to adjust to the truth. But have we adjusted to the truth? I see y'all on Ustream. Come on in. Speak up. Say something. Come on in the room. Don't make me sing the song now. Y'all know I'll bust it out in a minute. But seriously, what are we teaching? Okay, she's driving. Okay, well, you can't be driving and watching. Be careful. All right. Anyway, seriously, are we still teaching our children that Christopher Columbus discovered America? Is that still something we're doing? Y'all help the brother out. Y'all anybody in the chat? I know Monique is driving, so I can respect her to answer. You guys any teachers listening right now? It's a bunch of numbers over here. I just want to know, is that still being taught to our kids? Because they need to be taught the truth. He was not some righteous savior from Spain or from Europe that came over here and brought all this and that. No, he brought disease. He was nasty. Can we tell the truth? He was nasty as hell. And he came over here, and all of the people on his ship was nasty too. And then they came over here sleeping with folk and killed off all the men. Because watch this. They had spears and arrows here, and he got off the boat with guns and ammo. So then they turned around and sent word back and say, hey, it's some people over here we can overtake. So now watch this. So yeah, you know, the picture we get from Thanksgiving, because, you know, that's where it all came from, you know, him and they sitting there with the pilgrims, and they all sitting there and all this other mess and sitting around the table serving up this food and everything. Yeah. They sent word back. They sent the ship back to the rest of Europe saying, hey, we found this spot over here, but there's some people over here we can take it from. Can we tell the truth? There's some people over there that we can take it from, but we just need y'all to send more folk. So while they were lulling the indigenous people into this level of comfort, ships were coming from Europe and from Spain over to this area to swallow up all of the indigenous people. That's exactly what they did. Let me read. depends on whose class you're in. Let me read these comments. Let's see. Ashley says, no, it's not taught anymore. There's tons of units and read aloud books for primary students that teach the real story. Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. And then Monique says, depends on whose class you're in. You might be right. You might be right. I'm just saying, it's unfortunate, but we need to recognize this. This is what happens, and yet he still had, and this is now known information. So I think more states, more people need to get on board and remove this holiday. And if we're going to make it a holiday, if it's going to be a federal holiday, make it a federal holiday representing the people who are already here and not some clown. Can I use some Donald Trump language? Is that okay? Can I use some not the real Donald Trump language, but the other, because I don't want to get put off the air. But can I use some Donald Trump language? You know, Christopher Columbus, he, you know, came over here. They murderers. They rapers. You know, because that's what he called the immigrants that's over here now. But I'm using the Donald Trump language to describe Christopher Columbus, because this is a known fact. That's what they did. That's what they did. So it just, you know, I saw that and I'm like, okay, you know, the only good thing about Columbus Day is the fact that it's a day folk ain't got to go to work. Some folk, let me say that. That's the only good thing about it. Other than that, he ain't did nothing. And I think we need to make sure, especially those of us African Americans, because so much of what happened to us was launched by what Christopher Columbus did in 1492, because he opened the door for Europeans to start the slave trade. He opened the door for them to show up at Haiti and decimate that area, destroy that area, and leave that area in ruins. And they've never recovered. They've never recovered. So again, I think this is something we need to keep this out there so people can do that. Let's see, at one of the charter schools, Polaris, they call it Explorer Day. They don't teach it. Wow. Okay, so that's good. They don't even teach it. That's good. It's called Explorer Day. That's good. Just see where we got an email. Let me check it out. Email. email. Let me see who this from. Isn't history grand? Still recorded. Christopher Columbus discovered America. What a crook. Thank you, Ms. McCurtis. Thank you. I'm just saying, it's just one of those things we need to do. We need to deal with, and we need to talk about it and make sure our kids are getting the right information on all aspects of history. Because I'm going to tell you right now, as great as America is, America's history is not as great as you know, some would be led to believe. And what's so strange is the rest of the world knows more about our history than we teach our own people and teach our own kids. The rest of the world knows more about the American atrocities that take place in this country. Y'all know normally when I start talking about this stuff, that's when we get kicked off or something happens miraculously with the internet. So don't be surprised if it happens. But I'm just saying. Normally when I start telling the truth too much on here, especially when it's about what, you know, it just happened. But anyway, it's one of the rest of the world knows well too much about the atrocities that took place in this country, and that's why a lot of countries have never been big on the American bandwagon, because they know how America was built. They realize that America was built on the backs of slaves, and on slaves who rightfully were the rightful owners of this country. Now, us Africans, African Americans who were taken from their homelands, that whole spot that was opened up, the European slave trade, all of that mess, yes, it all birthed out of the discovery of quote unquote the Americas. Because hey, who better to help build stuff than some slaves you ain't got to pay? Don't make me talk about it. Who better to build some stuff than some folk you ain't got to pay? Huh? You ain't got to pay them nothing. So, I mean, you know, the same thing happened in one of my favorite places in the world, in the Caribbean, Jamaica. One of my favorite places in the world. It's a European ran island. All of those islands, Jamaica, St. Lucia, all those islands fall under Great Britain. They all have the Union Jack flag flying next to their own flag, because they all fall under them, because that's who came in and took over those areas. Notice they were all originally black, though. But I'm going to leave that alone. This ain't the day for that. I don't want to go too much further into it because. But I'm just saying. Let me read a couple more comments. Amen. Let's honor the Indians on this day. That's right. We should honor the indigenous people. We absolutely should. We have to. We have to. It's a necessity. It's no. I mean, you know, we get February. You know, the shortest month of the year. We get February. The you can't get indigenous people a day. You know, I mean, hey, they was here. So anyway, so that's what I just wanted to put that out there about the whole Columbus Day thing, and hopefully. You know what? Hey, do your research, man. Do your research. Again, if you just joined us. Again, when you come into those of you listening online, I understand you're listening. That's wonderful. I appreciate you, my regular faithful listeners who listen via Blog Talk Radio, my listeners who listen via your phone or whatever. And then those of you who come into the chat room, on whether you're watching me on Ustream, that's this camera over here. Hey, y'all. And Facebook Live, that's this camera over here. Hey, y'all. All right. So I need, you know, come in the room, say something to the people. Let me know where you're at, who you are, because I see some names of some folks in the Facebook Live room over here that I ain't talked to in a long time. And y'all need to open y'all mouth and say something to the people. What's going on, man? Holla at your boy. What's up? It's a holiday. Everybody home today. That's why everybody chilling. Everybody, man, so anyway, moving right along. Can we talk about briefly, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, what might happen tomorrow? The CPS strike, the CPS school strike. That's where we are right now. The strike deadline is, what is it, 12 a.m., 11:59 p.m. tonight. Let me see if I got my info right. Yeah, so the strike deadline is tonight. They're supposed to be negotiating well until the late evening tonight. But they did already tell people, I'm reading this now, they've told the teachers and people to come and pick up your strike materials. So they've already told the teachers to come pick up your strike materials and get ready for the strike to start. Let's see here. Karen Lewis, you all know Karen Lewis. I've made my comments about her, and I'm going to not say them again today because I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. But Karen Lewis set a clear price tag of $200 million to avoid a strike, saying that would provide everything we need to fund schools so that they work well. $200 million. This is what she says. I'm just reading the article. So, because, you know, I've been accused. Can I talk for a minute? I've been accused of being one-sided. Like, I've been accused of being anti-teacher, which I'm not. I've been accused of being pro-teacher. Chicago Public Schools, which I'm not. But, you know, I simply read the facts as they are given. And if it and if people, anybody reading and who's been who lives in Chicago, who's been a part of this thing from for years and knows about the foolery that goes on in this city when it comes to our kids' education, the foolery, the utter foolery that goes on in this city, you're going to fall on one side or the other. Some people are going to be pro teacher no matter what. Some people are going to be pro CPS no matter what. Then you got a group of people like me who blame everybody, because I think both sides are equally guilty. And I tell you why, and I said this before. If you are going to strike, and this has been my whole thing, and I'm going to move on because I know this will take the show 20 minutes out the way. I know this. This will take the show 20 minutes out the way. If you're going to strike, teachers, if you're going to strike, stay on strike. That's all I'm saying. Don't come back a week from now because you got a third of what you asked for. If you're going to strike, stay your behinds on strike until you get, what did she ask for? $200 million, according to this Tribune, Sun-Times, and DNA Info report. She says they need $200 million to get what they need to get. Now, if you get this $200 million from the TIF funds that they keep talking about, the TIF funds, those that's like this money that's in the city that's set aside for some other stuff, but it ain't being used right now. If you get this $200 million, here is where you get, this is where you don't get the support. This is where you get the support of. This is where you lose the support of the parents and the other people in the city. If you get this $200 million, and 3 years from now, 2 years from now, y'all come back saying we need some more money, we need this, we need that. That's when it's like, okay, when is it? When are we? You know, when? Okay, so I'm done because I know this. This will go left real quick. I'm going to leave it alone. I know this will go left real quick, so I'm going to leave it alone because I don't want to get in no trouble. Let's see. Let me read some of these comments. Here you go. Really? That's what the comments say. Here you go. Thank you so much. Let's see. Okay, 606 Trail River Walk, DePaul Stadium broke on purpose. What? I'm confused by the comment. Okay, next one. Most black schools don't have librarians and declining special ed services. Yeah. And I agree. You cannot have a library in a school with no librarian. Or you just put somebody in there who doesn't have a clue on how to do any research. You just put a warm body in there to keep the place, so you can say the library is open. I completely get that. I completely get that. Let's see. The mayor's not honoring what's in the contracts. That's why there is a need to strike. Okay. The mayor's not honoring what's in the contracts, I'm assuming that's what you meant. That's why there's a need to strike. Okay. All right. So you all have your opinions. Please feel free to share them. You can email me, email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, email the show. If you're on Facebook Live, you can go live with your comment, put your comment right in there where everybody can see it. We'd love to hear it, read it, use your comment. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio, tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We read your tweet on the air. Or if you want to call into the show, I'm going to give y'all the number right now because y'all typing, y'all might want to call in. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, the phone number to call into the show, area code 347-934-0546. When you call that number, push 1. That would alert me that you want to talk. And then when I hit the button, you got to be ready to talk. You can't have all your stuff going on in the background when you're finna be on the air, because I don't really want to hear all the noise in the background. And the other 17,000 people that's listening right now, they probably don't want to hear it either. So y'all get your phone and stuff ready if you choose to call in. Area code 347-934-0546. Okay. Can we move on? We're going to move on. I'm gonna give this a few minutes and then I'm going to move on real quick. The debate last night. Yeah. The crazy debate last night. I watched this thing last night and I must say, I have never It is. I can't wait. You know what it is? As I was watching the debate, I instantly started thinking about Saturday Night Live for next week, Saturday, because this, and again, let me make sure I express my opinions early on about this whole political process. Can I say this again? I don't like Hillary and I don't like Donald. And as someone has said to me quite often, this debate is like picking the dog with the least amount of fleas. That's what it is. It's like you go into the shelter and there's two dogs left in the shelter and one is scratching a little less than the other one. So you're going to take the one that ain't scratching as much. That's pretty much our choices. However, this dude, now don't get me wrong. Hillary just has this air about her that she's got this. She's like, you know, there's something sneaky going on, but you just quite can't put your finger on it. Like something ain't right with Hillary. You know, she's got that whole feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like I just can't fully like trust her because the minute, you know, like you get the feeling like the minute she get in office, the rest of the other shoe going to drop and then we're going to find out, you know, some other stuff about some email or some crap like that. But, you know, that's the thing. But y'all boy, Donald, y'all drunk Uncle Donald. Maybe somebody can help me with this. I got a couple of friends who work in the federal government. Can y'all help me? Do you have to take a drug test before you run for president? I don't think you do, because I know I'm just wondering. Do they take a hair sample, or do you pee in a cup? Do you have to take some kind of a drug test before you run for office? Because I'm really not being funny. Donald Trump, is he crazy? Because I don't think we're going to be surprised. And this thing about Donald Trump, you know exactly what you're getting with Donald Trump. He really ain't hiding anything. I mean, he really ain't. I know we upset about the taxes and all of that. What is this? Hillary is more reserved than the Donald. Fabian, man, I got bad members in the house. What's up, my favorite tuba player? What's up, Big Fabian? So we got this dude is, he's all over the place, but he's not hiding anything. You can't be surprised by what you're seeing. He's telling you in his words, in his actions, and in his prior deeds who he is and what he stands for. He's not lying to you. He's telling you exactly what he believes. And yet he still got 25 million people that's going to vote for him. Easy. He got these people that are going to vote for him. And again, if you just tuned in, if you want to have a comment or question, just push one. If you just called in to the phone line, area code 347-934-0546. Those of you guys listening on your phone, just push one. You can be a part of the show. It's amazing to me. But did you hear? It was almost like I've heard high school debates conducted better, and I've seen high school debates conducted better than the debates that these people have been in. And I have to commend the moderators from CNN who were forcing Donald Trump to go back and actually answer the question. Because he has this move last night when they asked him about the lovely video and audio that was released on Friday. And he said, well, yeah, you know, this is nothing but locker room talk. Now, here's my comment, and I'm going to move on. He was talking with the guy who at the time was working for, is it Entertainment Tonight, or what's the show? Not Entertainment Tonight. What's the other one that comes on NBC? But he was working for the show. He was talking with that guy. And he felt comfortable enough talking with that guy using that language, talking to a reporter. So if he's that comfortable talking with a reporter, watch this. How comfortable is he Come on now. How comfortable is he when he's just around his regular friends? What words are being thrown around when he's around his regular crew? What conversations are being had when he's around his other billionaire friends? You know, what language is being used? Because if you're talking about grabbing female body parts and saying that you can do it because you're a celebrity, he said, because when you're a celebrity, they let you do it. That's what he said. When you're a celebrity, you can just walk up and just, you know. Now, one of the interesting things is going to be, last night, one of the moderators said to him, let me just clarify, you have never done any of the things that you said you were due on the audio tape that was released. And he said, no, I have not. So now you know what's happening right now, right? You got people digging through every phone call, videotape, party, whatever they can think of, because they're going to try to find somebody, anybody, to come out and say, hey, well, you know, he grabbed, he touched, he pulled, he did, he what? It's insane, man. Absolutely insane. So, you know, they did try to talk about some issues, the whole Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. I really don't like calling it Obamacare. The Affordable Care Act piece. That thing about him going to completely demolish it and repeal it. Hillary is talking about just making some changes to it because some parts of it are expensive and all that stuff. I get it. You know, it's not a perfect plan. There is no perfect plan. But you know, I agree with one thing she said. What do you tell the people, the 25 million people who are now on this, who now have access to medical services? You're going to snatch the plan back? So all of a sudden these people go back on the what? They go back and they just disappear? Well, what are you supposed to do with that? So it's crazy. It's really sad. But this is what we're left to. A country, as we like to say, as great as ours, are these the two best people we could put up? And that's a real question. Are these two candidates the two best people that we could put up? I don't think they are, but the problem is nobody wants to run for office and have their lives torn apart. Nobody wants to run for office and have, because think about it. First of all, you got to have billions of dollars to even run for president. Billions. Billions of dollars. And then you have to be able to withstand all types of scrutiny. Man, they're going to go back and find your sixth grade girlfriend, your eighth grade girlfriend. They're going to go back and find the girl that you was supposed to take on prom but didn't take on prom. Then they go, I'm telling you, it's the worst mess ever. And other countries laugh at us when it comes to political time. I'm sure people are in other countries sitting back like, oh, this is the best TV ever. Because it's better than a reality show. It's better than a reality show because you're like, is this real? And then, you know, during the debate while she's talking, he's like lurking behind and, you know, all these different like scenes of him just constantly moving around and everything. When Donald Trump was up talking, she was sitting in her seat. And I'm going to move on. She sat in her seat and waited until they told her, you can go ahead. When she was up talking, he walking around behind the chairs. He's standing all in the background. I was just waiting for him to come up and, you know, I mean, I'm serious. It was a mess. It was a mess. It was a mess. So, all right, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with the Donald. I'm done with that. So, look, it is Mission on Monday, and we always have good conversations on Mission on Monday. Today's conversation is this, man, and this is really good. This is really good. Man, excited about this one. Everybody can see the log in your eye, hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? Everybody can see the log hanging out of your eye, but why can't you? Let me check this email. Let me check an email. Let me get back over here. Got too many computer screens open. Let's see here. Email. Don't see an email. I got another email. Hold on. Let me get it. Nope, only see the one. Okay, all right, I thought I had another one. All right, cool. So We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna jump right into today's conversation, and it is going to be good. It is going to be good. Today's conversation. Everyone can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why? And it's pretty much based on the verse of the Bible where Jesus was speaking about the speck in your brother's eye. He said it's real easy for us to point out somebody else's little bitty fault when we walking around, you know, as I like to say, we real quick to talk about a bone in somebody else's closet, a skeleton in somebody else's closet, when you got a whole dang on cemetery in yours. All right. So anyway, pray for the preacher. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. It should be good. Again, everybody can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? This is going to be good. In the meantime, going to leave y'all with a little bit of this Dedrick Hatton, Darwin Hobbs. He's able. He's able. We'll be right back.
How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly abundantly above all, all you could ask for, according to the power that worketh in you, God is able to do just what he said. Upon God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. How many believe it tonight? He's able.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. He's able, he's able, he's able. That's a little bit of that Dedrick Hatton, Darwin Hobbs. Old school song, but it's new music for us. It is, you know, I loaded some stuff. But this is good, man. He's able, he's able. Anybody know he's able? Anybody know? Is there anybody here? I had to do that. Is there anybody here? No, he's able. No, he's able. That's good. So, look, we have this really good article, man. Really good article for Mission on Monday. Everyone can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? Everyone can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? So this is good. This is good, man. This the writer of this particular article. Where did he go? Thank you. The writer of this particular article is Matt Rogers. The article, you can find the article. Matter of fact, let me get the article up for y'all. You can find the article on churchleaders.com. Churchleaders.com under the section for outreach. Articles for outreach and missions. Articles for outreach and missions. Those of you watching on Facebook Live, let me put the article up there for you so you can have it. There you go. All right. There's the article for you. Let me put it out there for those of you watching via Ustream. Chat room, Ustream. Let's go. All right. Come on. All right. Words of the Joker. Here we go. All right, and again, you have a comment or whatever, feel free to do that. The email account is open. I am able to check your emails. Let me read one real quick. These must have been the ones I missed earlier. Okay, it says, you know what? Saturday Night Live came to mind as well. They're both full of it. They're attacking each other personally and not discussing any of the views pertaining to the election. That Trump is completely nuts. And then she wrote, next one she says, who are the right ends? Are there any? You know what the sad part is? the write-in candidates or the Green Party, candidates cannot. They don't even know. I saw some interviews with one of the Green Party candidates, and they asked him about what was going on in Syria, and they asked about this town called Aleppo, where they're just dropping bombs on innocent people to try to kill off the rebellion, and they're killing people. And it's a town called Aleppo, and they asked the guy running for the Green Party what he thought about Aleppo, and he said, "Who is Aleppo?" That's what he said. He said, who is Aleppo? Now, if y'all ain't never seen the movie, I'm going to tell y'all a funny movie that you can watch during political times like this. There's an old movie called Head of State with Bernie Mac and Chris Rock. And it's funny as outdoors to me. I cry laughing every time I watch it. It's called Head of State with Chris Rock. And it's about an alderman who was picked out of the blue to run for president. And Bernie Mac is his brother, who was supposed to be his vice president. And there is a scene where they're interviewing Bernie Mac on like the late evening news, and they asked him about the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, better wise known as NATO. And they asked Bernie Mac, the character, they said, "What are you going to do about with NATO?" And Bernie Mac goes, "I don't know NATO. I ain't never met NATO." And the man was like, "Do you even know what you're running for? Do you know what NATO is?" And he says, "Oh, you meant NATO." He said, "Oh, well, man, you know, I thought you were talking about NATO Jenkins." NATO Jenkins. Right. Anyway, it's a funny movie. Y'all did. Head of State. I recommend it to add to your black movie library. I know some of y'all don't really watch, you know, certain movies, but y'all need to get it together. Y'all need to come on, watch that. That's a good movie. Anyway, let's jump right into today's conversation. Everyone can see the log hanging out of your eye except you. This is real good. This is real good. Again, the writer is Matt Rogers. Matt Rogers. This is what he says. He says, it's hard to miss. He says, the log has been around for so long that we assume it's just how we are made. He says, it's hard to miss Jesus' point in the Sermon on the Mount. The imagery is just too clear. He says, look at the birds and the flowers. I take care of them, and I'll take care of you also. He says, don't hide your light under a basket. It's useless there. Okay? Then he says, invest in things of eternal value. Things on this earth will just fall apart or get stolen away. And then this one, he says. And then this one. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? This is Matthew 7. He says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? He says, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see, to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, that version I just read is the English Standard Version. There is you can read the King James Version and all that stuff. But it's always been interesting to me, especially those of us in the church, especially for those of us in the church, how quick we can go to pointing fingers and telling people about their sins, and how quickly we can go to pointing fingers and telling people about their shortcomings before we look at our own. You know how they say when you point a finger at somebody, there's, you know, three fingers and a thumb? Come on. It's easy to talk about, well, what's going on or what's wrong over here before we talk about what's actually wrong over here. See, let me tell you about what's wrong in your house and why your house is broke up. My house tore up, but it's easy for me to focus on your house than for me to have to deal with mine. And so see, what Jesus is saying is, before you start talking about what's going on in other people's houses and what's going on in other people's lives, maybe you ought to make sure your stuff is in order. Maybe it's time you do a self-check. Maybe it's time you give yourself a little self-evaluation. Maybe we need to spend a little more time in the mirror, not looking for pimples and blemishes, but just looking in the mirror and taking a long look at the person looking back at you and seeing, is that the person that you really want people to see? Or is it the person behind, or is it the person with all the makeup and the extras and the accessories and everything else that we do to get ourselves pretty before we go outside? This is what the writer says. The writer says this. He says, the contrast is compelling. He says, it's almost comical, and the implications are straightforward. He says, before you judge the actions of another person, address your own sins, he says, which may be far greater in comparison. He says, this passage and others like it are often misread to imply that we should not point out the other person's sin. That wasn't Jesus' point. Jesus is not saying don't point out the sin. He says, Christian love requires that we call one another to holiness. So see, as Christians, we're required to call each other to holiness. But then watch this. But before we can do that with a tone of grace, a posture of kindness, and a motive of restoration, we first must consider our own sins and seek God's grace to turn from them. So watch this. You can't show up and start telling folk about being a good steward, not committing adultery and fornication and don't do this and don't do that and all this other stuff when you got the same list. Somebody, look at your neighbor and say, same list. When you got the same list of stuff that you finna go and try to have a conversation with them about that you need to fix yourself. Come on, son. I've said this quite often. There has never been a sermon that I have preached that didn't slap me in my face before it went and slapped somebody else. That's just not how it works. Because none of us are perfect people. None of us are perfect individuals. We all have flaws, some more than others, but we all have them. But at the same time, you don't have to live in your flaw. You don't have to live in your flaw. You don't have to. But it's not just what's the comment say? This message needs to go out to the church folk and my family. Hit the share button, baby. Hit the share button. That's all you got to do. And don't tag them in it because they might get mad. But just hit the share button. but here is the situation. We got to take the as the scripture says, we have to take out our log before we can point out somebody else's speck. You get that? We have to take out our own log before we can point out somebody else's speck. You can't keep just picking and choosing. I like what the writer says. He says, but here's the problem. He says, at least in my own life, this is the writer. He says, the log is hard to see. He says, it doesn't seem to make sense considering the image that Jesus uses. No one should miss a log hanging out of their eye, much less be able to notice the meager speck in someone else's, but we do it all the time. Why? He says, why is the log of my own sin so hard to see? Oh, my God. Can I tell you? A lot of times it's hard to see your own mess when you've been living in it for so long. I had an employee once. Who had a house full of cats. I know y'all say, where is he finna go? But seriously, I had an employee once. Wonderful employee. But she literally had 25 cats in her house. Now, if you've ever owned an animal before, you know having one in itself, my mama tell y'all this, having one cat in itself, having one cat in itself is an issue. Having one dog in itself is an issue. But when you have several, it becomes more of a tenuous issue. But this lady had about 20-some-odd cats. And unfortunately, because she had so many cats, there's no way you have that many cats in a house and the smell of cats is now not on everything that you own. And the smell was so strong that when she would come to work, here is the problem. The smell was normal to her. Stay with me. The smell was normal to her. But when she showed up at the workplace, the rest of us got hit instantly. And then the question was, how do you not smell that? And as my mama used to tell me when I was a little musty little boy growing up, my mama used to tell me all the time, boy, you can smell yourself before anybody else do, so check yourself. My mama was quick to call you musty. She tell you in a minute, don't you go sit up on nobody because you're musty. Y'all, I got to tell it. I got to tell it like it is. Y'all pray for the preacher. Look here. So what I'm saying is when you've lived in something for so long or you've lived a certain way for so long, all of a sudden when you take what you've had and you put it in a different environment, other people are going to all of a sudden start to be able to tell you, hey, that ain't right. What you're doing is not right. Don't you see the issue that you're causing? Don't you see the problem that you're creating? But because you've lived that way for so long, it's hard for you yourself to see it. Can I take it back to the church? Can I take it back to the church? A lot of times, a lot of our churches have been doing things in a fashion for so long that we don't recognize that to the rest of the world and even to scripture, it does not fit. But because granddaddy did it, because grandmama did it, because great auntie did it, and all the other people did it, it must be the norm. And then what we later find out is it's not truth or it's not proper. Just like, can I go back to the beginning of the show? The Christopher Columbus thing. We spoke about Christopher Columbus for years. We were all taught Christopher Columbus discovered America. That's what was beaten to every kid in America. This is what we were told every school year. Christopher Columbus, 1492, the Nina and the Pinta. We were told all of that good information. But then what? All of a sudden, the truth came out and people started looking like, huh? Well, what you mean? Because everybody else in the world knew what we just were finding out. It's hard to see when you've been living it for so long. It's hard to see. It's hard to see. So let's keep going. Let's keep going. He says, on one level, the answer is pride. Pride. Pride is the first thing that blocks it from us. Pride. He says, at the root of my sinful action, he says, lies a prideful heart that is unwilling to acknowledge and turn from my sin. He says, true enough, since Augustine, pride has rightly been seen as the ground of all sin, the well from which all sorts of sinful actions are drawn. He says, yet pride is somewhat nebulous, is somewhat a nebulous concept, an easy target to place blame and a challenging enemy to address. Bubbling up from my pride are a number of concrete factors that shape my inability to see and remove the logs of my own sin. Pride. And as we've learned, pride comes before the fall. Because, see, we're too proud to admit that we have an issue. We're too proud to it. If you've ever been a part of a substance abuse or substance abuse training or anything like that, any of those things, the first step towards recovery is admitting you have a problem. And in order to do that, you have to do this. Swallow your pride and say, you know what? I need some help. I need some help. And it's not just for addiction. You have people who have addiction with drugs and alcohol. You have people who have addiction with porn and sex. You have people who have addiction with money and finances and with spending. All types of things. You have people with all types of different issues. And until you can actually make a honest statement that I recognize that I have a problem, you will never recognize your problem. What you will do is you will start to nitpick and point out other people's issues. Because, see, it's easy for me to address yours because yours seems so much greater than mine. So I'm going to just point at that thing. See, you didn't do that right there. How come you didn't do this over here? Why didn't you do this? Because, see, the more I can point at you, the less I have to focus on me. Don't miss this. Don't miss this thing. Don't miss this. The more I have to point at you and your shortcomings, the less I have to focus on me. So a lot of times, and then in the church, it always feels like an attack. It always feels like some sort of an attack because we're not, because here's the deal. We haven't came in humility. We don't come in humility first. We haven't asked God to God to fix me before I go put my nose in somebody else's business. Ooh, my Lord. Fix me before I start telling somebody else about how they need to get their life right. Lord, fix me. But see, that's not our prayer. We pray prayers where we call ourselves. I ain't going to tell y'all about some of these prayer meetings I've been in the last couple of weeks. Help me, Jesus. But we pray prayers where we sicken God on people. Like he a dog. Like he a Rottweiler. Get him, God. Sick him, God. What? Right. But instead of us praying, praying for God to fix my heart, instead of us praying like David prayed with God, where David said, Lord, purge me with hyssop. He said, and give me a clean heart. Remove anything that is not right within me. Instead of us praying that prayer, we too busy praying, talking about, Lord, fix that Negro over there. And Lord, fix that Negro over there. And Lord, fix her. She the problem. Lord, give us somebody that's going to stay in their own lane. Lord, give us this and give us that. No. Tell the Lord to fix you first. Point out your issues to the Lord first. And don't give me that, the Lord know my heart mess. Please don't miss me with the Lord know my heart. Come on now. No. Yes, the Lord knows your heart, but he also wants to hear it out your mouth. I ain't telling you to stand up in front of the church and confess your sins. That ain't what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is when you spend your time with the Lord, you go to God and say, Lord, this is Dana. Lord, Dana has done the following. Lord, Dana needs some help. Lord, Dana needs you to do this, this, and this. Lord, help Dana before Dana can go try to help somebody else. That's the prayer you ought to be praying. Lord, fix you, fix Sally, fix John, fix whoever you are before you go trying to talk about somebody else's issues in their house.
My God.
Yeah. All right. It is a holiday, right? It is. All right. So let's go. Everyone can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? That's where we at. That's the conversation we're having. If you got a question or comment, please hit me up. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-904-0546. We'd be glad to hear from you. Let's continue on with the article. The writer says this. He says, the log has been there a long time. He says, logs don't develop overnight. They've been around for a while. They're subtle, almost unrecognized. Growth of a log over time blinds us to its existence. He says, like a scar, we just get used to it being there. Oh, my God. There go that phrase, we get used to it. Or I'll use the one that makes me itch. They've become accustomed to. We just accustomed to it being that way. The writer says, someone else might immediately recognize the blight, but to us, it's just a part of who we are. That is the biggest lie. That is almost the second biggest lie that Satan ever told or convinced us with. That's just who we are. That's just what we do. Really. Because it's amazing to me when we don't want to change. Or we don't want to embrace change, or we don't want to embrace the work that comes with change, you automatically get the rebuttal statement of, that's just who we are. This is just what we're used to. And you know what? It ain't going to change, and ain't no sense in fighting it. So that's just how that. So you ought to either get used to it or go somewhere else. Those are the options. The option of fixing it is never an option. It's either get used to it or go somewhere else. So you see what I'm saying? And that's why so many churches are in complete disarray, because there is this mentality of, well, that's just how we are. Why y'all don't ever do that? That's just how we are. Well, how come we're not doing it? That's just how we are. Really? How about that's what we accept? How about that's just what we accept? How about that's just what we allow to take place? You know, when kids is bad, when kids is little, and they doing stuff, you throwing rocks and all that kind of stuff, and nobody said he just bad. They said, oh, no, no. That ain't just how you were. No, we going to get some correction. Where is the correction at? When you're a child, and don't nobody say when you're 5, 6 years old, oh, he just bad. No. He is to have some correction. Now, if you allow him at 5 to still be bad, the same bad he was at 5, he's now worse at 10. And now he's the worse he was at 10, he's now evil at 15. If you allow that to happen, then yes, that's just what you've allowed to happen. But when you take the time to actually do some correcting, look at your neighbor and say correcting. When you when you take some time and do some correcting, then we start to recognize that there's some room for some change. Let me read the comment. It says, I once was told that we are able to recognize the log in someone else's life because it's something we are familiar with. Woo! Or we have the same issue within ourselves. Ah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you know why? As they like to say, crazy recognize crazy. Right. But when your crazy is more crazy than mine, it's easier for me to focus on you. You're so right about it. It just boggles my mind how we've come to the acceptance of that's just how we are. Then he says this. He says, the log might begin as dry wit with a mass deep wit that masked deep insecurity during a person's middle school years. Over time, this dry wit morphs into biting sarcasm that eviscerates other people in loveless hostility. Or the log might be as feeble as a lie meant to make yourself look better than you actually are, rather than addressing the subtle speck in time. The log grows to the point that you've become a mere caricature of the good Christian who's all style and no substance. Can I put this in a little bit more context and make it a little bit more plainer? So see, it starts off as a little speck. You know, if you ever got a splinter in your finger, you know, it's a little bitty piece of wood that causes much pain, but it's a little bitty thing. Now, you know, if you get it out right away, it heals and you don't have a scar, you don't do nothing. But if you leave it in there long enough and it goes untreated, watch this. It then sets up infection. Ah, and then now the little speck you had on your thumb now has become an infection throughout the tip of your thumb, throughout your whole finger, your hand. Everything is now infected because you didn't take the time to deal with it when it was just a speck. The same thing happens in families with children. The same thing happens in churches with disciplinary actions. When you allow folks to be mediocre, can I talk about it? When you allow folks to be status quo, when you allow folks to just dwell in the mundane, when you allow things to just go and act like I don't see it, when you walk around like Stevie Wonder on this side and Ray Charles on the other side and nobody can see nothing, everybody is walking around blind. Because you've now started to recognize, or you started to act as though this is normal. So it's normal for us to bump into each other. See, could you imagine before they put the canes out there for blind people? You know, blind people who they can't see, so they have those canes, and they tap the cane as they walk down the street. Someone thought that was a good idea because they didn't just want blind people blindly, aimlessly walking around and bumping into things. But see, they recognized that there was a problem that needed a solution. But for some of us, we don't even want the cane. We just want to keep walking around, bumping into things. Huh? There was a song that came out some years ago. It said, you just keep bumping me against the wall. I mean, seriously, I really can't understand why we keep running into the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. That's what they call cray-cray, crazy, a little bit slow, short yellow bus. That's what they call that, when you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Y'all help me. I'm just not understanding, but yet we will be quick to point out some other stuff. See, you got some churches where, you know, the choir don't like the fact, the choir don't like the praise team, and the praise team don't like the ushers, and the ushers don't like the deacons, and the deacons don't like the trustees. Everybody is quick to point out, the deacons will point out what the trustees ain't doing, and the ushers will point out what the deacons ain't doing, and then the ministers will point out what the ushers ain't doing, and everybody pointing out what everybody ain't doing. Let me help y'all with something. While y'all doing all this pointing about what they ain't doing, ain't nobody being saved. I ain't going to get no amens, but that's all right. Ain't nobody being saved while y'all pointing fingers. Ain't nobody coming to Christ. Ain't nobody new. Let me rephrase that. Ain't nobody new coming to Christ. Ain't nobody new coming, because when new folks show up, watch this. New folks notice everything the first time they come in. So they see the deacon board and hear the deacon board talking about the trustee board. They hear the trustee board talking about the usher board. They hear the choir talking about the praise team. They hear the praise team talking about this. They hear all this, and they sit back and they watch and they go, now they talking about each other, but why don't they, how come they ain't fixed they self? And you know what they do? They turn around and they go back home, and they 9 times out of 10 do not come back. They don't come back. They don't come back. They stay gone because what? Because they see y'all pointing. They see everybody pointing at specks. Oh yeah, see that speck in their eye? See that little speck right there? See that speck over there? That's why they sound like that. Because you see, that's why he can't preach. That's why see that speck over there? That's why all this here stuff. They see us. And ain't no souls being saved. Ain't nobody being delivered. There are no breakthroughs happening. You don't know why some ministries are having breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, because they come in with the mindset and with the expectation that somebody's going to have a breakthrough in their life. Whereas in other churches, folks go to church and they just hope that the church can make it until the dismissal. We hope nothing goes crazy on Sunday. That's the new expectation for the church. We hope don't nothing bad happen during the service. How crazy is that? We hope don't nothing bad happen during the service. What kind of expectation is that? I don't know, what God do you serve? What God do you serve when you can just sit back and your expectation for the church service is that don't nothing crazy happen? What God are you serving? Because we're supposed to be coming with the hope and the expectation that somebody who does not know Christ will be saved. That's supposed to be the expectation. Let's move on. He says, the log is excused as part of your personality. Uh-oh. The log is excused as part of your personality. Here he goes. He says, as a result, we are prone to conflate our sinful actions with our natural predispositions or inborn personality traits. The log has been around for so long that we assume it's just how we are made. He says, take the sin of worry, for example. He says, if I allow the sin of worry to fester in my heart as a teenager, then the log will continue to grow. He says, over time, I'll get used to the log and fail to notice that it's there at all. Then when I do notice it, most likely when someone else points it out, I'll excuse it away as just part of who I am. Really? Really? I'll excuse it away as just part of who I am. And then it's like what he says. He says, well, I've just got an anxious personality, I might say. Or I'm just the kind of person who speaks my mind rather than I've got a sin issue with controlling my tongue. Such excuses more deeply embed the logs we are meant to extract. And that's one of the first things. I'm going to tell you right now. That's one of the first things. I say this often. I am so grateful for the people that I surround myself with, my mentors I'm talking about. I am so grateful for the people because they're honest with me. You know, because here's the deal. When you got a big old log in your eye or a forest, you know, a lumber yard, you know, you got the whole wood section of Lowe's, you got the whole 2x4 section of Lowe's in your eye. But then you come point out something wrong with me, it's going to be hard for me to receive that from you when you got a tree limb hanging out your eye. You follow me? But when you have a respect and admiration for people And there's some mutual respect there because they've been honest with you, because their actions and their history with you shows they have your best interest in mind. When they come to you with something, you can receive it without being offended. Stay with me. You can receive it without being offended. I've had people for years have said this to me while I'm sitting in the pulpit. Dana, fix your face. Fix your face. Dana, fix your face. Stop frowning up. Stop looking like that. Don't roll your eye. Don't do this. Don't do that. And my response for sometimes, this is one of my classic responses was, I'm allergic to stupidity. That was one of my classics. Because I can't just sit. I'm allergic to stupidity. I'm allergic to mediocrity. I'm allergic to status quo. I'm allergic to doing nothing. It just didn't work for me. So that was always my response. And then if people brought that to me and you brought that to me and I know your history, see, and I know your history, when you bring that to me, I'm not going to be so receptive of it. Because to me, it's like, oh, you got the nerve to come tell me to fix my face. That's the biggest problem you saw all day, was for me to fix my face. Whereas I know, but you don't know that I know, you got a whole bunch of mess going on. But you take the time to come point out my facial expressions. I had to learn, watch this now, I had to learn to be receptive. And what it did was it took some people. Who could just sit down and have conversations with me and talk to me on a level, and they talked to me where we could have an exchange of ideas. They didn't just pull me to the side to tell me to fix my face. They pulled me to the side to say, hey, we see you're growing. We see you're doing this. Let us give you a little bit of advice, because this is something we think you need to stop. This is something we think you need to probably work on. This is an area we think you can improve in. See, that's different. That's different. That's not them ignoring their issues. That's them coming to me in love to say, hey, little brother, we see greatness in you, but you need to work on these things. You need to work on these things but beforehand. Because even though it's a little bitty thing, it could be something that hinders you in the future, because other people might see it and not know how to take it. See what I'm saying? So I understood that. I understood that, and I said, wow, I get it. I got it. It made perfect sense to me. I got it. So some stuff you just had to work on, and I recognize when you have to work on something. But you get that when it's built on mutual respect. Come on. Let's go. He says. This is what he says. He says, we've tried to remove the log before and failed. Uh-oh. Again, we're talking about before you point out the speck in your neighbor's eye, make sure you get the log out of yours. He says this. He says, the best time to remove the log is when it first starts growing, before you get comfortable with its existence. Some try. They see the sin for what it is and seek to extract it, but they fail. He says, it's much like the process of removing a splinter. He says, you get out the needle and the tweezers and you go to work, but it hurts. The splinter is deep, so you give up. Intuitively, you know that an ingrown splinter will lead to greater pain in the future. But for now, you'd rather not endure the pain. He says, anytime you are reminded of the splinter, you remember the pain of the last time you tried to remove it and quit before you ever began. Then, if you go to remove the splinter in the future, you find an infection that makes it more painful to even touch the skin around the splinter. Now, any hope of removing the culprit will once again come with great pain. Just said this. You cannot allow things to sit by and fester along without you taking them on head on when they start. If we can go back to the Bible, when we see noticeable sin in the camp, it needs to be addressed instantly. If you are part of a team of people, they call them in football teams and basketball teams, they call them cancers in the locker room, because certain people, they bring the whole team aspect down. They bring the whole team environment down because of their attitude toward things. Because, see, some people feel like If their name isn't on the front cover, if their picture isn't on the front, if they're not the one behind the video, or if they're not the one doing this and that, that they can't that they can't work. So they're always going to be pushing for things to go to so that they can shine. They're going to be pushing for stuff to go so that they can shine, so that they can be noticed, but not realizing that them causing themselves to shine is causing further detriment to the team. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So we need to start to fix things early on. It's just like with your children. When you see your children exhibiting some bad behavior at an early age, what do? You fix it. You say, oh, no, that's not acceptable. You say that's not acceptable. That's what parents do. You give your kids a 8 o'clock, a 9 o'clock curfew. They need to be in the house at 9 o'clock or whatever time it is, and they come in at 9:30, and you excuse it. And now a couple of times, now they come in at 10:15, you don't say nothing. Now all of a sudden they come in at 11 o'clock. You go, hey, you know what time it is? Oh yeah, my bad. And then that's it. And now. Now you have set the standard. So this curfew, this rule that you set at 9 o'clock no longer means anything because you did not set a standard. Because you set a standard with no consequences. You drew a line with no consequences. So now if you said be home at 9 o'clock, watch this. You say be home at 9 o'clock and he or she get home and it's 9:10. And you say, I told you to be home at 9. Okay, well, guess what? I know you're supposed to go out next week, but I'm going to need you to stay here because I need you to recognize that I take this time frame seriously. I take this conversation you and I had seriously. So because I don't believe you heard me or you believed in what I said or you could not keep our agreement, because you could not keep our agreement, then I'm going to set a new standard. And the new standard is you don't get to go. Now that kid is upset, but they now recognize, guess what? I can't just keep randomly breaking rules whenever I feel like it. That's what happens when you set standards. Because see, now if you don't set it, and then all of a sudden that kid comes in, now this was the curfew at 15 and 16. Now we're at 17, 18, and you told the kid to be home at 11, and he comes at 1 o'clock, and then you up waiting and worried, and then they walk in the door, and you don't say nothing, and now you go to try to say something. Mind you, you ain't said nothing all year long about their time, and now all of a sudden you want to stand firm on, didn't I tell you to be in the house? They're going to look at you like you crazy. Why? Because you allowed it to get to that point. You allowed that child, that person, to believe they could do whatever they wanted to. You let that little thing grow into an out of control thing. And now it's harder to put that genie back in the bottle. Let's go. Now, then he says this. The log is sociably acceptable. Oh, the log is sociably acceptable. He says, so the log remains. Glaringly obvious to others, but hidden from our own eyes. To others, our speck looks like a log, and to us, their speck looks like a log. So few are actually seeing the logs, excuse me, for what they are. He says, this problem is compounded by the cumulative effect of logs in a culture. He says, if enough people fail to remove their logs, and their logs look a lot alike, over time, certain logs become the cultural norm. Everyone has one, like a flannel shirt and skinny jeans. If enough people have them, then no one is willing to call attention to how funny we all look with logs hanging out of our eyes. He says logs of materialism, sexuality are different to address if everyone else is walking around with the same log protruding from their eyes as well. Let's talk about it. If your church has created this history of mediocrity, meaning that it's okay to do whatever. It's okay to sing or sound like whatever. It's okay that you don't come to Bible study. It's okay that you're not a part of missions. It's okay that you don't do any evangelical work. It's okay that you're not, that you don't come to church on time. It's okay that you don't come to Sunday school. If that's, if you create that norm, because watch this, you can have a core group of people who are faithful to all of those ministries that I just mentioned. You can have a core group of people who are faithful to all of those ministries. But then you have other people who now join into the group. But because you don't hold any of them to that standard, now all of a sudden your core group becomes frustrated. Because your core group says, well, why am I here? Why are you not asking other people to come? Why are you not insisting on other people to come? Why are you not, especially your leaders, why are your leaders allowed not to take place in any of these things or take part in any of these ministries? Because you allowed it to happen from the beginning. You allowed it to happen from the beginning. Any good leader puts his or her footprint on a thing immediately, and they look to start correcting the minor issues first. Because a lot of times, there's not a lot of big stuff wrong with churches. It's a lot of little bitty stuff that goes unchecked. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Let's keep going, y'all. We're going to the last page. What time is it? Oh, Lord. I said I was getting out of here on time, and I'm getting out of here on time. Oh, we're going to get it. He says, this is what he says. We kind of like the log. Again, we're talking about why everyone can see the log hanging out of your eye. Why can't you? He says, we kind of like the log. He says, all of these factors build up a head of steam in our lives. We've had the log for many years. We begin to assume it's just part of who we are. We think we can't get out of it. We try. And if we start to spend our time with a bunch of log-eyed, he says, and we start to spend our time with a bunch of log-eyed people. He says, in time, we find that we start to like the log. We begin to think we should just embrace it. After all, we couldn't get it out if we wanted to. Some mask behind the foolish cliche, just be yourself. Ooh, boy. He says, we begin to flaunt the log in our eye. We wear it as a badge of honor and foolishly call what is evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5 and 20. Then he says, this process over time makes the simple command of Christ one of the most difficult to practice. It produces a horde of log-eyed people who simply can't see their log anymore. Not only are we blinded by our own sin, but we are incapable of helping other brothers and sisters address their sins. It's far better for us to assume today that we have a log in our own eyes, begging the Spirit to allow me to see it for what it is and remove it before it's too late. My God, that's good. And you know what? That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our prayer. And I think that's good. I'm so grateful for this article. This was good. I'm grateful for the article. But that ought to be our prayer. Our prayer should be that God, help me deal with my infirmities first. Lord, help me deal with the things that I have going wrong with me first. Help me recognize where I fall short first. Help me understand where I fall short. And then God, help me fix my issue so that I can then be a better servant to you, and then I can go and help somebody else with their issue. Because, see, if I have some issues that I refuse to address, watch this. Some of us got the same issues. But if I can't handle mine, how am I going to help you with yours? So my prayer ought to be, Lord, help me with mine so I can help my sister with hers or my brother with his. Come on now. Don't miss that. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what you've done. God, we thank you for being the head of our lives. God, we just thank you for everything that you've continued to do for us. God, we thank you for the writer of this article. God, we thank you first, God, for your clarity. God, we thank you for allowing us to recognize that we all have logs or specks in our own eyes, God. And now, God, we come asking that you would help us recognize our own faults, that you would help us recognize our own shortcomings, God, that you would help us to deal with the issues that we know that we have, God, and allow us to open our hearts so that you can come in and fix the issues that we have before we go pointing out the issues that other people have. God, we thank you so much, God, because you don't have to do it, but you continue to give us your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you for every listener on today. God, we thank you for every watcher on Ustream and on Facebook Live today. God, we thank you for the listeners on blogtalkradio.com. God, we thank you for the listeners who called in on today. God, we just bless you. God, we just bless your name. We lift your name. We extol you, God. We just say hallelujah, Jesus, to your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woo! My God. Hey, y'all, look, it's been a wonderful show, man, and we out of here on time. Praise Jesus. It's been a wonderful show. Y'all have been absolutely wonderful today. I thank y'all so much, man. The comments on Facebook Live, amazing. Comments, Ustream, amazing. Y'all, you guys have just really blessed me. Those of you who called in, you wrote in via the email, please, we thank you so much for the emails. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast. Simply go to iTunes, do a search for the podcast. You can download it, subscribe to the podcast, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and we will be a part of your listening library. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been wonderful. I got to go. But you all have blessed me. And remember, if you live in the city of Chicago, stay blessed and keep your head on a swivel. I'm out. CTLO.
And you know, he prepared me because he cares. He is maturing me. Yes, he is. Because he cares. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord is arranging me. Arranging, but he rearranged my
We'll be right back.